Shop early, save big, all month long during Black Friday Build-Up at Lowe's. Right now, get select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at just $59.98. Don't wait to save. Shop these deals today, in-store or online. Because Lowe's knows deals. Discount taken at time of purchase while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Why has Triple H been so successful? Why is Triple H running WWE better than Vince McMahon and Bruce Prichard on Monday and Friday night? Long-term booking.
Guys, thank you so very much for joining me on this Monday night. It is Monday, November 11th, 2024. I am your host, JD from New York. As always, coming to you live from the OTS venue inside my mother's basement. Thank you guys so very much for joining me on your Monday evenings, wherever you may be. If you guys are going to post spoilers in the chat, Otis and Hula Grimm and anybody else that is a moderator in this chat room tonight, get them out of here. I don't want to see, I don't want to hear, I don't want to know about any spoilers. If you are coming here to spoil anything, then you will be banned. I have spoken. Unfortunately, we have yet another taped Monday Night Raw next week. I don't really like these taped shows. They are here in abundance. But the reason why, for anybody wondering why next week is a taped show, is because Triple H is giving everybody the holiday off because we are heading into Thanksgiving. And one of the initiatives of the company is to give back to its performers and give them more time at home with their families, as opposed to what Vince McMahon did. And he had everybody on the road basically up until the holiday. They celebrate the holiday, and then they're back on the road the very next day. So that's why we are getting a taped Monday Night Raw. They are absolutely killing the show with these taped shows because they don't feel like they should. On top of it being 2 hours, and they really haven't hit their stride even at 2 hours on Monday night. But that is the reason why. And anybody, like I said, that posts spoilers, get them out. Monday night. Nobody could spoil Monday night tonight because it was live from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I didn't really know what was going to happen on tonight's show outside of what was advertised last week, which was basically Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez against Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. I did not know what WWE was planning to do with the Women's War Games situation. I have said vehemently that WWE does not need a Women's War Games this year. If there is no feud on the current roster that is capable or up to speed, built, that has a story behind it, if we don't have any of these things revolving around 10 women, then we don't need a Women's War Games. Unfortunately, I and many others who wish this wasn't a thing have been proven wrong. WWE absolutely is doing a Women's War Games. And at the end of the Women's Tag Team Championship match tonight, you saw basically most of what will be the Women's War Games match at Survivor Series at the end of the month. I need to say this because I wouldn't be me if I didn't say it. Women's wrestling right now is obviously a major focus in WWE. It always has been. You see what they do in NXT. You see how they do what they do on the main roster. Is it great? By no stretch is it great. Could it be better? Absolutely. They are giving us which, by the way, I'm glad we did not get a women's intercontinental title tonight. That would have been overkill. We just announced a women's United States championship on Friday night. So the rumors about that title being stretched between both shows is certainly leaning in that direction, which is good. We don't need two mid-card titles, two secondary titles on both Raw and SmackDown to completely oversaturate what's going on with the lack of depth that we have on both of these women's rosters. You see that their focus is women's wrestling. It always has been. Could it be better? Yes. It is nowhere where it needs to be. But WWE's probably got the most talented pool of women in the entire industry. The notion, and I know I'm probably going to get criticized for what I'm about to say. I love the fact that women get what the men get. Is it something that everybody enjoys? No. No, it doesn't. And no, people don't enjoy everything that the women do, the men have to get it. I don't really understand that logic. I am one of those people that really love when it's something and it's needed, then you do it. Because I feel like if you just do things for the sake of doing it, then it devalues what you're doing. And it devalues the match that you're building. War Games is a situation that WWE has taken from the existence, from the birth of War Games. It has been a match that pits one team against another team, and there's a reason why those teams are feuding. Whether it's 6 months, 3 months, a whole year, there's a reason why that match is happening with those 10 individuals in said match. If you go and do a War Games match and you just randomly, haphazardly, short-sighted, just throw people in the match, it devalues what the match truly is. It is a war. You can't put 10 people behind a war and then have it not be a war. You need to be fighting for something. You need to be fighting for the top of the card. You need to be fighting in a blood feud for you wanting to come on top or come out on top. You need to be in there for a specific reason. And that reason right now for the women is just not there. It's not. And a lot of people tend to think JD doesn't criticize WWE. JD is always easy on WWE. I am not easy on WWE, and when I am angry and upset and disappointed in WWE, I let you guys know I'm angry, upset, and disappointed about WWE. There is absolutely no need for a women's War Games. Because the more I see shit that we saw tonight at the end of the show, the more I am proven correct. It devalues the War Games match. We don't need two War Games. We don't. Now, it's not confirmed, but you know WWE is going to do whatever the men do, the women gotta get it. It's their thing. I don't know why we just don't get a traditional Survivor Series match, 5-on-5. What's so wrong with that concept? Why do we need to throw all these women that don't belong in there inside of War Games? At the end of the match tonight, we got Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair defeating Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. It was a fucking circus out there. Nia Jax is out there. Tiffany Stratton's out there. Io is out there. Naomi is out there. It's like, all right, thanks for the fucking brand split. Thanks for the separate rosters, man. So we're doing this even going into Survivor Series. I guess the women's tag team championships really kind of are being pulled and stretched as far as they could go, man. None of these women have anything to do with the women's tag team championships. Why are you seeing Naomi and Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton on Monday Night Raw when they have nothing to do with the women's tag team championships? They're just there. And then you don't want me to criticize that. You don't want me to call that out. I've been calling that out fucking in the early days of the draft when we first got here. I did it when Vince did it. It's not the way to go. It's not. War Games, at the end of the tag team match, War Games is consisting of now Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, who, by the way, pinned Liv Morgan. She pinned the women's world champion. I don't know if that's going to come into play at a later date. Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Io Sky. Those were the four women that stood tall at the end of Monday Night Raw. Opposing those women, it was Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Nia Jax, and Tiffany Stratton. So right now we got eight. We got four on four. Clearly, you could see where this is going. Gee, I wonder who the fifth woman is going to be on either team.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to eight times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now, during our Black Friday sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus special financing. Limited time. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Gee, I wonder if Rhea Ripley is going to be on the babyface team. Gee, I wonder if the other woman who's involved with Nia Jax, Candice LeRae, is going to be on the heel side. 5-on-5. The only part of that women's War Games match that belongs inside of War Games is Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. That is it. That is not enough to say this deserves a War Games stipulation. It is haphazardly put together. It is so lazy. And none of these women have anything to do with being in war. Over what? For what? Because the men have to do it, the women have to do it too. Yes, let's water down one of the fucking greatest matches in the history of the business because 10 women who don't belong in there need a fucking War Games match so we can call equality. I am always going to sit in the fucking corner on the side of creative that makes sense. You don't need a women's War Games if that's where they're going. Again, we're not confirmed. We're not even confirmed with that stipulation yet. But if you want to give me a 5-on-5 match, there is absolutely nothing wrong with a traditional Thanksgiving tradition, WWE Survivor Series tradition of a 5-on-5 elimination style classic Survivor Series match, which I feel they should have at least one of those matches on the card, no matter what. Just to get everybody involved in a way that it makes sense. That certainly makes a little bit more sense than putting 10 women in a fucking steel cage, a double steel cage, to battle over nothing just to say we did it. Am I wrong? No, I'm not wrong. Stop ruining stipulations. Stop ruining great concepts. Stop ruining good matches for this haphazardly rushed, nonsensical bullshit creative. It doesn't need it. It's a joke. It is certainly a joke. Zero story. Zero. Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton, whatever the fuck they got going on, one of the worst stories in the entire WWE. One of the worst stories in the entire WWE all year. Never mind just now. All year. It is lazy, lazy, lazy television. Then we got Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair, who have done nothing with those tag team championships. They've beaten everybody that WWE's thrown in front of them. They have no story with anybody. Then you got Nia Jax and Naomi. Who gives a shit, man? They're wrestling on Friday night for the women's championship. There's no story there. Then you got Nia and Bayley. Candice LeRae and Nia. Nobody cares. The only things The only part of that that matters is Rhea Ripley more than likely coming back next week. I did not read the spoilers. And Candice LeRae. There's nobody else that makes sense there. No, Bayley is not going to be on the babyface team because Bayley has nothing to do with anything here. Bayley's moved on from Nia. Or Nia, I should say, has moved on from Bayley. It's Rhea and Liv. That's it. But I stand my ground. We don't need a women's War Games match just to say the women got a War Games match. There's nothing wrong with the traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series match. Absolutely nothing. Now on the men's side, we got what we got on Friday night. Sami Zayn, Roman Reigns, and the Usos against Bloodline 2.0. Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, and the Tongans. We left Friday Night SmackDown thinking that WWE was going to do 4-on-4, which would have absolutely been okay. Because this is the story between these individuals. Solo Sikoa teased a 5-on-5 War Games on Friday night when Roman said, well, I only see four of you. And then Solo says, oh, we have a fifth man. Yeah, our fifth man is Sami Zayn. Only for Sami Zayn to come out and Helluva kick Solo Sikoa in the face, and then he rejoins the Bloodline as the honorary Us. So it's those four against against Solo Sikoa's Bloodline. We come to Monday, and Jimmy, Jay, and Sammy are all together in the back, and Sammy and Jimmy have a little kind of situation where there's a little bit of indifference there. And then the discussion kind of sways in another direction, in the direction of, we need to find a fifth man tonight. So they're doing 5-on-5. They're not doing 4-on-4. So the situation now is they have bypassed the tension. The story of the Bloodline was the tension between Sammy and Roman, Sammy and Jimmy, Jay and Roman, Jay and Jimmy. Sammy and Jay were the only two people on the same page here. They bypassed the tension to fast track Sammy into the Bloodline. Instead, they should have given Paul Heyman the story of uniting everybody. They bypassed that to speed to get Sami Zayn in the Bloodline. And now the story's become for the next 3 weeks, who's going to be the fifth man on either team? I'm sorry, folks. I would have done that the opposite way. I would have done that as far as the Bloodline goes. Let's kind of cohesively put these things all together. Let's tell the story of indifference. Let's tell the story of tension between all of these egos and emotion. And the fact that the Bloodline has run amok on Friday Night SmackDown, and Roman has nobody to blame but himself. His ego is tremendous. He's not a changed man. It should have been Paul Heyman to reunite all of them. A week or two before Survivor Series. They had 3 weeks. They had three shows to do that story. 3 weeks to tell that story. And they rushed to tell all of that in one night. And now the story is, who's the fifth man? Okay, great. I enjoy a nice cliffhanger. I enjoy a nice dash of unpredictability. But I'd rather get the emotion and the story in getting everybody back together, getting that moment that we got at the end of the show happening because of Paul Heyman, not because of, oh my God, Sami Zayn's out there. He booted Solo Sikoa in the face. Let's all throw the ones in the air and let's go off the air. I feel like things are just kind of, they're just throwing darts at the dartboard, man. I feel like WWE is in autopilot mode right now. And they're in cruise control, and they're waiting for Netflix. Especially when it comes to Monday night. They're just waiting for Netflix, man. Let's get through Survivor Series. Let's get through Saturday night's main event, and then we'll call it a year, man. We had a great year. We had a great year, man. We'll take the next 4 weeks off, and then we'll hit it hard on January 6th. Come on, man. You want people invested in this story, and then you want to start rushing shit towards the end of this thing. That's not the way to keep people's interest. Who's going to be the fifth man? Who's going to be the fifth man? Well, clearly, Sami Zayn had somebody in mind, and that person was someone that we talked about on Friday night. That person was Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins flat out said, Roman Reigns has not changed. He's actually disappointed in Sami Zayn, that Sami Zayn can't see that. And the fact that he's teaming with Roman Reigns is sad because he's doing exactly what he did the first go around to Sami Zayn and everybody else. Now he's just using everybody to get back what he had. He will never fight alongside Roman Reigns again. So he said, no, I'm not going to be the fifth man. Now, if Seth Rollins was the fifth man, then that would probably lead to rumors of The Rock being the fifth man for Solo Sikoa. Before I continue, Rock is not going to be the fifth man on Solo Sikoa's team. He's not. So you could throw that idea out the window. Seth Rollins is not the fifth man. He denied both Sammy and Solo tonight because Solo asked him to be on his team. And he said, no, I am not going to team with somebody who is nothing more than a make-believe tribal chief. And he walked away. So Seth Rollins is not the fifth man. Jimmy Uso. He had a little interaction with Bron Breakker backstage in the middle of the show tonight after Bron Breakker and Sheamus had a face-to-face. Jimmy Uso wanted to talk to Bron Breakker. About what? Gee, I wonder what. Being that they need a fifth man, Bron Breakker, as the fifth man, works because of the situation that we got with Jacob Fatu. Clearly, the stare down between Bron Breakker and Jacob Fatu was planted there for a specific reason. Bron Breakker has been heavily promoted and put over by Paul Heyman. This may come as a direct order from the wise man. We don't know. It certainly would make sense for Bron Breakker to be the fifth man. But then you look on Team Solo. Who would be the fifth man on Team Solo if Roman's bloodline has the fifth man being Bron Breakker? There really is nobody on that side to oppose a Bron Breakker joining Roman's team. If we go Bron Breakker being the fifth man on Team Roman, more than likely we will get Hikuleo or whoever, whatever his name is going to be in WWE. We'll get him on Solo's side for War Games. That is less than exciting. Now, I'm going to throw this out there. I mentioned this on Friday night. At least one half of this I mentioned. There is a situation that's happening on Friday night that could easily be absolved into this bloodline situation. What if Solo Sikoa goes out there and asks Kevin Owens to be on his team for War Games? And on the other side, Sammy, Jay, and Jimmy ask Cody Rhodes to be on their team, once again, teaming with Roman, at War Games, and it's Cody, Roman, the Usos, and Sammy against Solo, Jacob Fatu, the Tongans, and Kevin Owens. That's the way I think the pieces of the puzzle fit perfectly. Bron Breakker on one side, fine. What the fuck does he have to do with the bloodline outside of a 3-second stare down with Jacob Fatu and the fact that Paul Heyman poured him over on NXT last year on Title Tuesday? Who gives a shit? Like, who remembers that? Nobody remembers that. You and I remember that. Nobody fucking cares about that. But Cody and KO, now that makes sense. Cody has helped the bloodline before. Cody teamed with Roman against Solo and Jacob Fatu at Hell in a Cell, or Bad Blood. Then you got Jay, who's cool with Cody. Jimmy, who's cool with Cody, and then obviously Cody and Sammy have a mutual respect for one another. But then you include Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens right now, who is not in the good graces of WWE management. Kevin Owens, who simply wants to cause chaos and destruction. Kevin Owens, who, for his actions, by the way, will not and should not get a WWE Championship match, because what the fuck has he done to deserve it? And what has he done? Because management is not going to reward him for taking out Randy Orton with a banned maneuver on Friday night via the pile driver. So what better way to get Kevin Owens in a stripped down, raw, unadulterated violence environment than putting him on War Games? So Solo Sikoa, all he needs to do is convince Kevin Owens, hey man, I know you got a problem with Roman. I know you got a problem with my cousin. I know you want to get at him. I'm giving you the opportunity to join us for one night. You don't have to appreciate what we do. You don't have to respect us. But I want to come to you man to man. First of all, Cody needs to be announced over there. Cody needs to be announced first as their fifth man. Then KO can get announced and he can have that kind of be the dangling carrot over Kevin Owens. Listen, Roman and Cody on the same team, you can do whatever you want to them. There's no rules. You can get at them in the best way possible and both of them at the same time. I mean, it works. It just works. So I think that's the way that they go, and they're going to sell us on that. Because everybody's like, oh, Cody's going to defend the WWE Championship against Kevin Owens. Why? How? What does Kevin Owens have to do with the WWE Championship? Why would Kevin Owens get rewarded with a WWE Championship match? Because he took out Randy Orton with a banned maneuver, a maneuver that's been banned since 2000. Why would management reward him with something like that? And Cody to give him a championship match just because makes Cody look like a fucking stupid idiot. You can't do that. And I know Cody would probably want to be part of War Games as many times as he can before he's got to hang up the boots because it's his daddy's match. It just makes sense. Cody and Roman with the Usos and Sammy against Kevin Owens and Solo Sikoa and his bloodline. That makes sense. I would rather see that than a one-on-one match with Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes. Because what are you going to do? The predictable situation would be, oh, Cody defends the title against someone who doesn't deserve it. Oh, here's another outcome where Cody is going to win the match and Randy Orton's going to come and help Cody beat Kevin Owens, and then we're going to get Kevin Owens and Randy Orton because of what happened at Survivor Series at Saturday night's main event 2 weeks later. I mean, it's just uber predictable, bro. It's super, super predictable. So why would you want to do that? I would rather put them in the War Games match where everything is just unpredictable. I think that is the way to go. So we're going to talk about this a little bit more. Thank you for joining me. We got 2,100 people in here on a Monday night, brand new week. Thank you guys very much for joining me here on Monday night for the Raw Post Show right here on Off the Script. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell. Did I just see someone in the chat say if that's my real hair? Yes, it's my real hair. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. All the AEW virgins have moved over to Blue Sky, man. Good riddance. What's Blue Sky? It's basically Twitter Lite. That's what it is. Goodbye. Nobody's going to need you and miss you on Twitter. Make sure you guys follow me on the socials. We filter everything that happens on the channel through X. So make sure you guys go do that. Go check out all the other content on the channel. Plenty of it. We uploaded a great video yesterday, man. Go and check it out. 523,000, man, as AEW sinks lower and lower in the ratings and interest and attendance, ticket sales. They lost. They got demolished by NXT on their own night. Why? How bad was it? We talk about it, man. Go check it out. Tomorrow, we'll be live. The Solo Monster. And JD will be back for Tuesday Night Titans tomorrow, regular time, 8:30 p.m. We will be live. We'll be talking about all this shit together. It's going to be good. Super chats are open, man. It's one of the best ways to support what I do here, man. Let's get those super chats in. Any questions, comments, concerns, any questions that you guys may have, make sure you guys get those on in. We'll hang out at the end of the show. Hit that thumbs up. We got 450 likes. I'd love to see 1,000 likes minimum. We got 2,100 people in here, man. There's no excuses. 1,000 likes is the goal. And tonight's show is sponsored by my very good friends over at Game Time. Tonight we are sponsored by Game Time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code JD from NY. $20 off your first purchase, man. So if you guys are attending a Broadway play, a concert, an event like WWE or AEW, make sure you guys go and use Game Time and use that promo code JD from NY, man. We will talk about my friends over at Game Time a little bit later on in tonight's broadcast. Monday night, let's start at the top. I thought tonight's show overall was a decent show, but you can tell that WWE is in autopilot mode. And it's going to be like this, guys. Unfortunately, I have to be honest with you, like I always am. It is going to be autopilot mode until we get through all of November. Survivor Series should be a banger. And I'm expecting some big happenings at Survivor Series. Saturday night's main event's going to be a banger. After Saturday night's main event, it is going to be, I don't want to say bad, but I would say the excitement around WWE right now is not all that super exciting. They don't really have any substantial storylines going on right now outside the Bloodline. Cody, Randy, and Kevin Owens. I mean, those are the big two. Outside that, there really is nothing super exciting. They are going to be on autopilot mode going throughout the rest of the year until we get to January 6th. Then things are going to be picking up. As soon as we get to that Royal Rumble build and Monday night goes to Netflix, then we start to pick things up and business will be better. But right now, we just got to wait it out. I hate saying that. We got to wait out this lull. We got to get through this mediocre bullshit, and then we'll be fine. Gunther, he made his way out to the ring. They showed clips of what happened at the end of last week's show with Gunther having a stare down with Priest after Priest won the main event to earn a World Heavyweight Championship match at Survivor Series. It will be taking place, as confirmed tonight, by Joe Tessitore at Survivor Series on November 30th. So Gunther's in the ring, and he said with some bass in his voice, all that matters is that he's still the World Heavyweight Champion. He says he doesn't live in the past, but rather he looks at what's in front of him. He said that is Priest, and that is his next challenger. He said there are a lot of things he has to say about Priest, and then at that point, Damian Priest and his music played, and he walked out. Now, cool thing is, WWE, you can tell that WWE is actually getting some live musicians, some actual musicians to play a lot of the performers' theme musics now. Ludwig Kaiser had a little bit of a different take on his theme tonight. Damian Priest has a little bit of a different take on his theme. It seems a little bit more lively. It seems less AI-generated. And then Joe Tessitore and Wade Barrett say that Damian Priest's new theme is going to be on iTunes and Spotify, and that the guitar solo in Damian Priest's new theme music was written and played by Kerry King of Slayer. So WWE, the report was that WWE wants to start using some actual licensed musicians. And here they got Kerry King from Slayer, the lead guitarist of one of the most legendary bands ever, And he's playing Damian Priest's theme song. Sounds like a win-win situation to me. You can tell the vibe is different, which it's great. I like it. It's a lot better than what we were getting. So, he walks out there. Priest entered the ring and said, the entire world saw it advertised. He was going to talk about him, so he's out there, and he wants Gunther to talk to him right to his face. As Gunther began to speak, Priest interrupted and said, he wanted to guess what he planned to say. Priest said, let me guess, you're going to call me street trash, a Latino thug, a bum. His parents didn't care enough to raise him right. He had to scratch and claw to get an opportunity while Gunther sat at home and waited for a phone call to join the company. Am I right? He said the first time he looked at Gunther face to face, he understood the vibe of why people feared this unbeatable killer. He said for the first time in his career, he actually felt doubt. He lost to Cody and he felt doubt after Crown Jewel. He said if his so-called big brother didn't betray him, he'd still be holding that title, meaning Finn Balor. He said to Gunther that since SummerSlam, this vibe of yours is beginning to fade. He said it faded because he started doubting himself. He said he saw him get pinned by Cody Rhodes in Saudi Arabia. Gunther lost his cool and yelled, you! And then fans interrupted with a Cody chant. Priest said Gunther can't even talk right now because he's full of doubt. He said Gunther knows he can't beat him. He said by now, if he were anyone else, Gunther would have taken a swing at him right where he stands. He said fans don't want them to wait until Survivor Series. Take your shot now. He said if he did, Priest would drop his ass right there in front of him. Gunther looked a little bothered by this. This was not the typical ring general, Gunther. All of a sudden, Ludwig Kaiser walks out. He interrupts this entire face-to-face. He gets in the ring and he asks, who Priest is to doubt the ring general? He says he's beaten him once already. He told him to get out of the ring and save himself. He guaranteed Priest will lose when he wrestles Gunther because he's not worthy. Gunther walks up to Kaiser, puts his hand over the microphone and knocks the microphone out of his hand. He starts poking Kaiser in the chest and he has some words for Kaiser off microphone. Kaiser said, no, no. He says he won't let that street trash talk to him that way. Priest punched him in the face and it looked vicious. And then he stepped towards Gunther. Priest turned and clotheslined Kaiser over the top rope. Gunther didn't do anything. He tried to move into a situation with Priest, but then he backed away. Wade Barrett said for the first time, there is panic and doubt coming off the world heavyweight champion. There's a reason why WWE did what they did tonight. There's a reason why this is a different situation than the situation that they built with these two men, same guys, for the world championship going into SummerSlam. Gunther was the one who was uber confident. He won the King of the Ring and he was on top of the world and he was about to be the world's heavyweight champion. Damian Priest was right now at that point, you know, he wasn't really as confident as he was. There was internal problems slowly developing in the Judgment Day. And then he went into that. And then we obviously saw what happened. Liv Morgan and Dominic turned on Rhea. Rhea was excommunicated from the Judgment Day. And then Finn Balor turned on Damian Priest and cost him the world championship. At SummerSlam, Gunther became the world's heavyweight champion. There was a lot of problems internally going on in the Judgment Day. Now, he's got no Judgment Day. And the report was that WWE wants to build Damian Priest as an alpha babyface on the Monday Night Raw side of things, and they got major plans for him. Now the roles are reversed. Gunther lost to Cody clean. There was no interference. There was no shenanigans. He lost to Cody clean. Obviously, after you spewed for 3 weeks that you're going to be the Crown Jewel champion and you are going to be the champion, you're going to make Cody a secondary champion, and then you ultimately lose to that man who you called a secondary champion, you are now the secondary champion. You were basically humbled in Saudi Arabia. Now he's taking all that doubt into this feud with Damian Priest, and the roles are reversed. So not only is this doubt all over Gunther, it adds another layer to his character instead of being the uber, you know, giant, unbeatable killer that we know him to be. It adds a nice layer to his overall character that he is a little vulnerable and he is human. Now, I wouldn't humanize him completely. I don't want to kill all of his luster and all of his aura. But there is a nice layer developing here that Gunther is somewhat human. I love that. On the flip side with Damian Priest, they need to make him look strong. They need to make him look strong. Gunther has been protected more so than any character in WWE over the last 3 or 4 years. Outside Roman and Cody, there's nobody that's been protected like Gunther. So when you want to kind of take that protection and then lower the dosage just a little bit, it's not going to harm him when you want to use Gunther in a way to elevate somebody else. He's the world champion. He should be elevating whoever he's in the ring with, whether that's wrestling in the ring when the bell rings or whether the story calls for it and you need to humanize him just a little bit to make his opponent look that much better as a babyface. That's exactly what they're doing with Damian Priest. Nobody expects Damian Priest to win the world championship. Nobody. Everybody listening to me, everybody watching this show understands and pretty much knows that Gunther is going to walk in to the new year and walk into WrestleMania as the world's heavyweight champion. That's the plan. Damian Priest is not beating Gunther, especially when you have Finn Balor roaming around jealous that Damian Priest is now in position to get a world championship opportunity. Dominic failed at stopping that. And now he is looking at Priest and doesn't want Priest to become the world's heavyweight champion because he believes he's better than Damian Priest. So there's a lot of moving parts to this. I don't know if you guys picked up on that like I picked up on that, but those are the reasons why they're doing this match and the reasons why they're telling this story with Priest and Gunther tonight. There's layers to their characters that needs to be told, and I thought tonight was a very effective segment. And I'm very much looking forward to the match because the match that they had at SummerSlam before the interference was very good. And Damian Priest has given us some banger matches this year, and we know the quality of work that Gunther does. Anytime he's in the ring, it is never a bad match. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm glad it's not happening on Raw. I'm glad it's happening at Survivor Series. Now, Kaiser. I don't know what they're doing with Kaiser. There is some tension there with Kaiser and Gunther. I definitely think that Kaiser in 2025 is going to be a breakout guy on his own. I don't know if they have an amicable split. I don't know if Gunther turns on Kaiser. I don't know. But it's an interesting dynamic that Gunther wanted no part of Kaiser out there hyping him up. And that just added to the overall character and layer of Gunther's character going into this story. If Kaiser's hyping him up and Gunther wanted Kaiser to stop, that means Gunther doesn't really feel he's in a position that he is good enough to beat Damian Priest. Gunther is doubting himself, and that was just a statement promo there by Kaiser that Gunther said, you know what, I don't deserve your praise. I am not what you are saying I am right now. So I love what they're doing here. I think this is great stuff. Backstage, Kathy Kelly interviewed Io Sky and Kairi Sane. She congratulated her for becoming the number one contender to Liv Morgan. And yes, she does have that championship match. I completely forgot about that as she won the Battle Royal in Saudi Arabia. Kairi said she is ready and she helps Bianca and Jay leave a piece for them. In walked Dakota Kai. They hugged, they smiled, and Dakota said she's pissed at Pure Insomnia Collective for taking 3 months off of her career. She said as long as she has Sky and Kairi by her side, nothing is going to keep her down. So Dakota Kai is back with Damage Control, and they are now back at full strength. Kofi Kingston, he approached R-Truth backstage. Kofi said he never had a chance to thank him for having their back against Final Testament a few weeks ago. He said for some strange reason, Xavier Woods didn't want to get involved and didn't understand why. Xavier Woods was behind them the entire time in the distance, and he heard everything that Kofi was saying, so he promptly comes over and interjects himself in this discussion between Kofi and Xavier, between Kofi and R-Truth. Xavier Woods interrupts and says, well, what are you guys talking about over here, man? I heard you from over there. What's going on here? So he asks, what's going on? Pete Dunne, all of a sudden, barges in. So Kofi began talking and confronted R-Truth over not calling him by his name. Kofi defended Truth. Pete Dunne asked if he wanted to make this his issue. Xavier says, it's not their issue. Kofi says, it is now. And he challenged Pete Dunne to a match. Truth told Kofi, good luck with Pete. It's Butch you have to worry about. So, Pete Dunne is obviously upset at R-Truth calling him Butch. And he took issue with that this week. So, he interjects this conversation between Kofi and R-Truth. Xavier Woods interjected and said, you don't need to take this match, bro. This is not our business. This is none of our business. We need to concentrate on us. We're not really at full strength right now. Mentally, we're not there. Here you are taking this match. It's none of our business. He's got a problem with R-Truth, not with us. So Pete Dunne doesn't give a shit. Now you got a problem with me because you are giving me a lip. So Pete Dunne is always looking for a fight. So now he's got Kofi one-on-one here tonight on Monday Night Raw. Six-woman tag team match. Kairi, Io, and Dakota, who returned from injury after 3 months, against Sonya Deville, Shayna Baszler, and Zoe Stark. Pure garbage collection. Pure Fusion Collective. Or Collection, whatever the fuck their name is. This match went 9 minutes. Believe it or not, this was not bad. I expected this to be a lot worse, but this wasn't bad at all. So we go to a commercial break. Obviously, you guys know the deal. 90 seconds into the match, we go into a commercial break. Damage control, the early advantage here until Baszler clotheslines Sane outside. Behind the referee's back, we go into a commercial break. Kairi makes a hot tag when we get back to... Actually, yeah, she makes a hot tag to Dakota, who's in the ring and in the match now from break. Kai hit Baszler with a running boot. But Baszler avoided a second one and put Kai in a single leg Boston Crab on the leg that was injured, that she was out for 3 months. Sky broke it up, which led to everybody in the match treading big moves. Baszler put Dakota in a Kira Fuda clutch, but Sky tagged herself in. Baszler put her in a submission, but Kai booted Baszler. Sky followed with the over the moonsault. For the 1-2-3, Io continues to pop the crowd. She is the number one contender for the Women's World Championship. And I don't know what is going to happen there. But obviously when Rhea gets back, Bianca pinning Liv tonight, I'm sure will factor into something. And now you got Io. We got some solid competition for the Women's World Champion all of a sudden. So good on them. This was not bad at all. And Io continues to wow the crowds and win over the crowds, which, like I said, I would do the unpredictable thing and take the title off of Liv the first chance that WWE gets. It is over. The entire situation between Rhea and Liv is over. So I don't know where they go. I don't know how they go about it. I would love to see Liv drop the title to Io or somebody. And let's get something new on Monday Night Raw because the division needs it. Jey Uso. He was backstage with Sammy. Jimmy walks in and asks Sammy what the problem is. Sammy says he doesn't have a problem, but Jimmy seems to have a problem. Jey encouraged them to get on the same page and get right. Sammy told Jimmy, hey man, nice chain. Jimmy says, yeah. Thanks. And you look, ... He could not come up with any compliment for Sami Zayn because Sami Zayn was basically dressed in a sweat suit or track suit with a t-shirt and a hoodie. Sammy told Jey, see what I'm saying? Jimmy said they need a fifth member for War Games. That's where we need to focus. Sammy asked if he's calling the plays. Jimmy says they don't have any friends on Monday. They don't have any friends on Friday. Sammy said he has someone in mind. Sammy looked at Jay and said, I would text you. The implication being that he didn't want to communicate with Jimmy. Sammy left. Jay was upset with how Jimmy treated and acted towards Sammy. So there is still some dissension. There's still some tension there between Sammy and Jimmy. And I'm assuming Roman's going to have a problem with everybody because Roman is a conceited, cocky, egotistical prick. But there is still going to be problems, I hope, before we get to War Games. And then we get Paul Heyman involved and he brings everybody together. And then we go into Survivor Series with them at full strength or as close to full strength as possible. But he's got somebody in mind. Sami Zayn has somebody in mind. Barrett says he hopes Sammy doesn't ask Kevin Owens. No, he will not be asking Kevin Owens. I think that was thrown in there because Solo is going to be asking Kevin Owens. Kofi Kingston. He went one-on-one with Pete Dunne. This was due to what happened earlier in the night where Pete Dunne had a problem with R-Truth. Kofi Kingston and R-Truth were discussing whatever they were discussing, and Kofi then got involved with Pete Dunne. So this is continuing the trouble between Kofi and Xavier as the New Day 10-year celebration is definitely looming. I don't know when that's going to be, but Adam Pearce says that there will be a special episode of Monday Night Raw dedicated to the anniversary of the New Day. We just don't know when. Kofi Kingston, he's in control right before the commercial break. Once again, typical WWE, within 90 seconds, we go into a commercial break. We come back from the break. Pete Dunne was in control. Kingston starts fighting back with a double knee drop, a drop kick, a big frog splash. Right to the back of Pete Dunne. He makes a cover here, flips him over. He goes and covers him, two count. Kingston tried going off the top rope, but Pete Dunne caught him with a vicious forearm as Kofi came off the top. Kingston came right back with the Trouble in Paradise. Pete Dunne fell out of the ring. Referee held Kingston back. Woods, who was outside, clotheslined Pete Dunne behind the referee's back. Kingston confronted Woods. Now, I didn't think he seen it, but he did. So we confronted Woods and told him, I don't need you out here. What are you doing? I didn't ask for you. And then Kingston confronted him and said, all this, and Woods told him, focus. You got an objective here, right? You took this match, we didn't have to. Focus and beat him and get him in the ring. Kingston slid Dunne back into the ring and decided to continue yelling at Xavier Woods, who was only out there to try and help him get a win. Joe Tessitore noted Kingston was giving Dunne way too much time to recover, and that's exactly what happened. As soon as Kingston got back in the ring, Pete Dunne caught him with a knee strike and then followed up with bitter end for the 1-2-3. Xavier Woods helped Kofi Kingston walk around the side of the ring. Kofi was on spaghetti legs, he was wobbling. All of a sudden, he shoved Xavier Woods away because Woods was telling him he didn't need to take this match tonight. This was none of his business. So Kingston shoves Woods and says, it was none of my business. I didn't ask for you to be out here. You're telling me to focus. They're going back and forth. Woods is telling Kofi to focus. Kofi is telling Woods, we need to focus. Right now, they are arguing, and it's not looking good for the New Day. This is the most interesting, like I said the last previous weeks, this is the most interesting the New Day has been. They've been a very one-dimensional act. Cereal, and dancing, and trombones, and unicorns, and fucking toys, and all this other shit. I've always said when the New Day is serious, the New Day is great. And I'm very much enjoying what they're doing here. And I'm also enjoying the fact that I don't know, because what you watch and what we watch on a weekly basis and what we've seen from these two, the direction would tend to indicate that one of these guys is going heel and one of these guys is going to turn on the other. Who is it going to be? Maybe none of them go heel. I don't know. Maybe Big E comes and kind of brings everybody back together. And Big E gets a spot on television as a mouthpiece or support for both Xavier and Kofi Kingston. Who knows? But if you watch the weekly television show, you would assume that one of these guys is going to turn on the other. If that is the case, we don't know. We don't know who's going to turn. Kofi has every reason to turn on Xavier. From what we've seen, Xavier has every reason to turn on Kofi. We don't know. So I love the fact that if that is the direction that they're going, we don't know who's turning on who. Because they both have equal amount of problem with each other. So I'm looking forward to this 10-year anniversary. It should be a very wild and unpredictable evening. We'll see what happens. Pancakes, booty-os, yes. Not my favorite shtick of the New Day, but when they are serious and when they get down to business, the New Day is great. They are. Judgment Day. They were hanging out in the back. Liv Morgan, Dominic Mysterio, Raquel Rodriguez. They were all there chatting. Finn Balor confronted Dom about coming up short against Priest last week. Thanks, mate, he said. Because now we allow Damian Priest to get one step closer to the World's Heavyweight Championship. Dom said, listen, nobody had my back out there last week. He asked where Balor was. If you were so concerned about Priest, where were you? He said he stayed in the back as Liv told me to. So was Liv the leader of the Judgment Day now? He asked Dom if he had said he could handle Priest by himself. Dom said, I have gotten closer to the world championship than you have in a very long time. Balor took issue with this. Carlito and JD McDonagh were playing PlayStation 5 in the background. They turned around to separate everybody when Balor got in front of Dominic's face. Balor suggested next week, Dominic and Carlito step up and take on the War Raiders and show them what the Judgment Day is all about. Basically to soften them up for Balor and JD McDonagh. Dominic said he would go make it official and go talk to Adam Pearce. Carlito said, whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing? Carlito really doesn't want to work at all. He's got no desire to work at all. He would rather sit in the back in the clubhouse and play PlayStation 5. I don't blame him. I would rather him do that too. I don't want to see him wrestle. How worthless are those Raw Men's Tag Team Championships. Those World Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. Man, they may be the worst title, the worst looking title right now on Balor and JD McFish in the entire company. What are we doing? Two pieces of hardware in the company that absolutely is useless. Like, what are we doing? If this is any indication about what we need to do, I don't know why WWE doesn't take the steps to fix it. JD McDonagh and Finn Balor are the Raw Tag Team Champions and have not defended those titles since when? I can't even remember when they defended them last. Why don't we take those belts? Why don't we take the WWE titles, the tag team titles held by the Motor City Machine Guns on SmackDown, and make them into one title? Why did we ever split them at WrestleMania? Was there any logical reason why they did that? What was so wrong with them operating under one? All you needed to do was create one new set of titles instead of having these fucking guys carry around four titles, two each. Like, what are we doing here? We got women's tag team titles that float between Raw and SmackDown. Now we got a Women's United States Championship that's going to float between Raw and SmackDown. Why can't we do that for the men's tag team titles? Why are there, I ask this every single time I'm on here. Why is there a different set of rules for the men than there are for the women? Everybody wants equality. You need a women's War Games match because the men got one. But the women's titles are floating. Why can't the men's titles float? Absolutely a waste of my time. And yes, the War Raiders should become the new WWE Tag Team Champions. Get them out of the Judgment Day. Bronson Reed. He's out there in the ring. He's got some promo time for himself. Bronson Reed into the ring and called out Seth Rollins. If Seth wants a piece of him, then I'm right here. Seth Rollins, his music hit. He comes on out. And Bronson Reed was saying he is not just a competitor. He is a monster. Last week, he took Rollins out, Priest and Sheamus. He did not mention Dominic. He would take anyone out who stood in his way. And Rollins comes out. He dropped the microphone. He had a microphone. He was going to say something to Reed, but he didn't. He dropped the microphone. He ran to the ring to attack Bronson Reed. But Reed clocked him with a big body block. Basically threw all his weight in front of him and knocked Rollins down. Rollins fought him off. Reed super kicked him onto the announce table. Reed set up for a tsunami, but Rollins flew off the table and tackled him. They continued to brawl. Security separated both of them. We got a bunch of guards held back. Rollins on the outside. So what does he do? He dives through the ropes with a Bronson Reed tope suicida. And he dives through the ropes and takes all of these guys out. All these guards wiped out. Pierce and other officials ran down to separate them. They continued to brawl during the commercial break. So we go into commercial break. We come back from the break. And we see Rollins arguing with Adam Pierce in the back. Pierce is yelling, he's had enough of this. Rollins demanded one more rematch. Pierce was pissed and agreed to one more match. And he told Rollins to end it next week. I don't give a shit what they do next week. If Bronson Reed doesn't get his win back, I don't know what the fuck we're doing here. I really don't know what we're doing here. Rollins beat him at Crown Jewel. Now Bronson Reed gets the win back and they go 1-1. Rollins should not be beating Bronson Reed two straight times. I don't give a fuck what happened in the first match. Sami Zayn. As this was going on between Rollins and Pierce, Sami Zayn approached Seth Rollins and legitimately asked him if he wanted to be their partner, the Bloodline's partner, Roman's partner at War Games. Sami Zayn knew Rollins had bad blood with Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. Zayn did too, but he had a family bond with them and that never went away. No matter what happened between Rollins and Reigns, they were still brothers. Zayn looked up and down the roster and said there was no one else. Rollins was their fifth man. Seth told him he was out of his damn mind. And people cheered when he did say that. Sammy, you're out of your mind. Rollins knew who Reigns really was and was shocked anybody would stand next to him, especially Sami Zayn, after all that he has done. Zayn has to be blind not to see that Reigns is using him all over again. Rollins appreciated Sami Zayn and told him the answer is no. Reigns hasn't changed. Roman Reigns hasn't changed. From what we've seen since Bad Blood up until where we see it now, going into Crown Jewel and now going into War Games, Roman Reigns has not changed. He's disrespected Jay, he's disrespected Jimmy, and he's disrespected Sammy. From what we saw at the end of Friday, he basically is dumbing his emotions and his ego down because he knows what he wants. He made it abundantly clear on Friday. It's all about Solo. It's all about the Ulafala. It's all about getting that back. And once he has that back, then he eyes Cody and the WWE Championship. And then he gets that back. And he knows, without his family, none of that is happening. Without help, none of that is happening. So was Seth Rollins right? There's nothing that Seth Rollins said that was factually incorrect. Everything that Seth Rollins said was 100% spot on. Roman has not changed, and Roman is using everyone. I wonder how that plays into the overall story. Is Roman going to eventually humble himself and realize that he needs his family to get back what he has? Is he going to start appreciating everybody when they help him win War Games? I don't know. Rollins was definitely an idea. And I'm glad that WWE gave us at least that notion, that idea that Rollins could potentially be the fifth man. The history between Rollins and Reigns is rich. But there's no reason for Seth to be teaming with Roman. Cody is the one that is messing multiple things up because of him teaming with Roman. That's going to be his downfall. That is what's going to cost Cody the WWE Championship. That's it. Seth Rollins stood next to Cody and told him going into WrestleMania, I will be your shield as long as I can't do it anymore. He did. He helped Cody win the WWE Championship. They vanquished Roman. On no fucking planet with human life would there be a Seth Rollins teaming with Roman Reigns after what we got at WrestleMania. That would make Seth Rollins just as big of a hypocrite as Cody. Can't do it. Rollins is not going to be subjected to this shit, so good for him. That would make, I know the idea out there is the history of Seth Rollins and Roman, but it would be so stupid from what we just got this year for Rollins to team with Roman Reigns to give Roman Reigns back everything that they fought so valiantly to take away from him. Why would you want to do that? There's no person that would want to do that. Is Sammy really blinded? Seth Rollins got a point. Seth Rollins certainly has a point for sure. Damian Priest, he went one-on-one with Ludwig Kaiser. This was a match basically to continue the momentum of Damian Priest as he eyes Gunther at the Survivor Series for the World Heavyweight Championship. This did not go long. It went about 7 minutes. We go into a commercial break legitimately as soon as the bell rings. Priest crashed shoulder first into the ring post. Kaiser was in control. We go to a commercial break, and most of this match happened within the commercial break. We only got about 3.5 minutes of TV time here. Priest came back after the commercial with a Falcon Arrow. Kaiser went back on offense for a little bit, but Priest comes back with some big strikes. South of Heaven chokeslam, and eventually gets the win over Ludwig Kaiser. Crowd was into Priest. Gunther appeared on the stage, and Barrett said that Gunther was both pensive and nervous looking at Damian Priest basically handle Ludwig Kaiser with ease. So we'll see what happens, man. Like I said, I'm enjoying what they did in the open of the show. They're adding layers to both guys' characters, completely opposite of what we saw going into and coming out of SummerSlam. Kathy Kelly. We got a clip narrated of Sheamus and Bron Breakker wrestling to a 3-minute time limit draw on WWE Speed. Yes, they are bringing the X-exclusive WWE Speed show into a storyline on Monday Night Raw. Why? I don't know. First of all, I don't even know why we're even talking about this. Secondly, I don't know why you have Sheamus and Bron Breakker competing on WWE Speed. So they got into a brawl after that match, which I'm betting that nobody in this chat room watched. They don't normally show clips of this show on Monday Night Raw or their WWE programming, period. So Kathy Kelly interviews Bron Breakker, and he said he wanted to expand his trophy case, and being that he's the fastest man in WWE, going after the Speed title made all the sense in the world for him. But then there was this ugly idiot, bonehead, named Sheamus, who basically got in his way. Sheamus all of a sudden was standing in the other corner. He comes walking over to Bron Breakker's interview, and he said, fella, I was over there down the hallway, and I heard you saying a couple of things here. He called Bron disrespectful, considering he's been there for 15 years. Well, Bron Breakker's been here for all but 15 minutes. It's been longer than that, but I get where Sheamus was going with that one. Sheamus said Bron Breakker reminded him of himself when he was younger. He admitted to being arrogant when he beat John Cena to become one of the fastest world heavyweight champions in company history. Sheamus wondered if Bron had a set big enough to put the Intercontinental title on the line. Bron said he wasn't listening to anything Sheamus said, but if you want a shot at the title, you got it, because I would love to beat Sheamus' old ass, is what Bron Breakker said. Sheamus told him to shine up that belt because he's taking it home next week. It's the one title that's eluded Sheamus for his entire career. I don't know why we're going to this match so soon, and it's not even WrestleMania season. Now, that doesn't mean WWE can't revisit it at WrestleMania season, but I truly believe Sheamus being built up to take the belt off of Bron Breakker before they move Bron Breakker up the ladder and have him start eyeing the World Heavyweight Championship. I think Sheamus getting the WrestleMania moment of winning the IC title, that would be a moment that is much deserved for someone like Sheamus. I don't know what we do here. They clearly went to a 3-minute draw on speed. Maybe they go to a double countout or a double DQ of sorts. Maybe there's a draw that happens. I don't know how they maneuver this, but Bron Breakker cannot beat Sheamus clean. I would not want to see that so early in this run here. Why are we throwing Sheamus at Bron Breakker? I get that he needs competition, but Sheamus is not it. They got to find a way to prolong this and then maybe cycle back to it going into WrestleMania season. Jimmy Uso, he appeared on Bron, or he appeared in the promo here with Bron Breakker when Sheamus left. Jimmy asked if he had a second to speak. Bron Breakker said yes. And that was basically all we saw of this, and I'm sure we'll see more of this next week. Final Testament. Yes, we are getting Final Testament versus the Wyatts. Final Testament found Miz backstage, and Karrion Kross acted thrilled to see him, that he was still alive. Miz says he was asking Pierce for a leave of absence. Kross says he was not doing that because Miz had given him no information about the Wyatts. Miz says this was bigger than them. He had to think about his family first and foremost. He settled his business with the Wyatts, and he apologized and promised that he had changed his ways, and they let him go. Miz is going to promise to be a better man from this point on. Karrion Kross was pissed because the Wyatts took out Paul Ellering, who was his family. Kross reminded Miz that he said they would break his legs. AOP grabbed Miz. They dragged him out from the backstage area as the camera followed from behind. They dragged him through Gorilla and out to the stage in front of the live audience. Kross didn't believe Miz's story and demanded to know where the Wyatts were. The lights went out and the Wyatt Six appeared in the ring when they came back on. The Wyatts faced off with Final Testament until Miz attacked Eric Rowan with a chair. It was all a setup. So the Miz is working with the Final Testament to get to the Wyatts. So we have the Wyatts, the Miz, and Final Testament all brawling in the ring. They worked together and laid the Wyatts out. Scarlett took out Nikki Cross. Miz and Cross hugged. The crowd told Miz that he sucked. Miz left with Final Testament as Uncle Howdy and Bo Dallas, or Uncle Howdy slash Bo Dallas, began laughing at all of them when the Wyatts were left alone in the ring. I am going to assume that maybe we get a traditional Survivor Series match here at Survivor Series on November 30th with the Final Testament and The Miz against the Wyatt Six, Bo, Eric Rowan, Joe Gacy, and Dexter Lumis. I'm assuming that's where they're going with this. Now, the vignette that they cut with The Miz when he was tied up in the chair and they duct taped his mouth and Uncle Howdy, Bo Dallas, showed up there and he started interrogating him and torturing him. And then we get Eric Rowan coming from behind. Or who was it? Dexter Lumis coming from behind and they dragged him out of the chamber that he was sitting in. That was great stuff. But after all that, we come to tonight and it was all a setup to get the Wyatts out there. I don't know, man. I think that would be a situation that would change The Miz to be a better person. I don't know. And The Miz, by the way, ended up in this segment bleeding from his eye. I don't know what had happened there, but he got busted open pretty badly. I'm assuming we're going to get this at Survivor Series. I think that should be the situation here, but Karrion Kross, he himself is carrying himself like a stud in this. Everybody else, honestly, I can't bring myself to care what's going on here. Kathy Kelly approached Rollins for an interview as he left, but he turned his attention to Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu in the parking lot. Tama Tonga and Tangaloa were in the SUV waiting. Solo said they both hated Roman Reigns, so they should join forces and take him out. Rollins started laughing. Rollins planned on stomping Reigns' head into the ground next time if they were in the same ring, which brought a smile to Solo's face because he thought that he was going to say yes to being the fifth man. So Rollins said, I would never join forces with a wannabe Roman Reigns. Fatu got in Rollins' face. They stared down. Solo Sikoa held him back. And Seth Rollins left the parking lot. So Rollins denied both Sami Zayn and Solo Sikoa. Jimmy Uso now wants to talk to Bron Breakker about being the fifth man. Who would be the fifth man on Solo's side? They don't have many friends right now. Who exactly would be Solo's fifth man? Outside of this one instance in Seth Rollins, who has a problem with Roman Reigns. Seth said no to Sammy. Seth said no to Solo Sikoa. Now, if we take the Jimmy Uso and Bron Breakker situation, I don't know what Jimmy is going to say. I don't know what Jimmy is going to do to convince Bron Breakker to team with the Bloodline. Doesn't really make a lot of sense to me as he's just kind of a baby in all this. And the stare down between Jacob Fatu and Bron Breakker is not enough to warrant him being in that match. This is why I say I think the teams are going to be Cody and Kevin Owens being the fifth man. Kevin Owens got all the reason in the world to hate Roman. And if Roman and the Bloodline, OG Bloodline, add Cody, Kevin Owens has every reason in the world to want to get at him. Not only is Roman there and he could extract some revenge there, but Cody being on that team too? In a war game situation where there's no rules and violence is the name of the game? That's where I think it's going. No, Rock is not going to be. Rock may be at Survivor Series, but he's not going to be in war games. And I mentioned the Paul Heyman situation. Who gives a shit? Sure. The Paul Heyman connection on NXT. Who gives a shit? I'm talking about what's happening on the main roster right now. Bron Breakker has no business being in that Bloodline story. None. Next week on Raw, we got Seth Rollins versus Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker versus Sheamus for the Intercontinental title. So two banger matches next week. Looking like a good show, even though it's taped. Main event time. Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill against Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan, who is the women's world heavyweight champion. This is for the women's tag team championship. So this went about 7 minutes. We did get a commercial break in the middle of this thing, and we got about 4 minutes of TV time. Belair almost hit Jade Cargill by mistake, and this miscommunication allowed Liv and Raquel to take over going into the commercial break. Now, I thought this was going to be the name of the game here, and I thought we were going to get even more seeds planted of a potential split between Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. That did not happen. They were basically in, how do we get to war games? That's our priority. Raquel Rodriguez and Jade Cargill after the break. were back, and they knocked each other down with big boots. Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton, all of a sudden from SmackDown, no reason for being here. I thought the brand split was going back to normal after Crown Jewel. Apparently not. Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton ran out. Stratton jumps on one side of the ring to distract the referee, while Nia Jax gives Jade Cargill one of the weakest Samoan drops on the apron that I've ever seen. So Raquel Rodriguez follows up and hits an elbow drop, goes for a cover. Belair breaks up the cover and saves the titles. All of a sudden, Naomi runs down from SmackDown. Naomi runs down, takes out Tiffany and Nia Jax. Liv Morgan gives Naomi a code breaker on the outside. Cargill booted Morgan out of midair and knocked Rodriguez off the apron. Belair then gives Liv Morgan a KOD, and Liv Morgan is pinned. The world's heavyweight champion, Liv Morgan, is pinned by Bianca Belair. Does that factor into anything down the line? I don't think so, but clearly something is going to come out of that. Nia Jax attacked the tag team champions after the match. All of a sudden, Io Sky runs down to make the save. No Kairi with a springboard dropkick. She also knocked out Stratton. Belair and Cargill knocked Rodriguez out of the ring. Io, Naomi, Belair, and Cargill worked together to take out Nia Jax. There was a double suplex spot by Cargill and Bianca on Nia. All four baby faces stood tall as Monday Night Raw came to a close. Now, I ranted about this in the beginning. I don't want to repeat myself. There is no need for a women's War Games. Zero. This is haphazardly, sloppily, lazily, last-minutely put together. WWE is basically giving you a glimpse of what the War Games match is going to be, minus Rhea and minus Candice, who are missing from this situation. Supposedly, Rhea is going to be on her way back, and WWE has reportedly said that the injury is not as severe as they initially thought it was. So Rhea Ripley, Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Io versus Nia Jax, Liv Morgan, who went one-on-one at Crown Jewel. Fuck me. Then you wonder why people didn't give a shit. Nia Jax, Liv Morgan, Tiffany Stratton, Candice LeRae, I'm assuming, and Raquel Rodriguez. That is your 5-on-5 women's War Games. Tell me where the war is in the women's War Games. There is none. I would absolutely put this on the Survivor Series card, but instead of making it a War Games situation, I would do a traditional Survivor Series 5-on-5. Now, Rhea more than likely will be back. Is WWE's plan to take the title off of Liv to put it on Rhea? I don't know. Saturday night's main event's coming up. I've said this for weeks. If there is a show where Liv needs to drop that title, it needs to be sooner rather than later. And if Rhea wins, I think she's going to have every reason in the world to want to take that championship off of Liv Morgan. Do it at Saturday night's main event. Have Rhea win the championship and then move on and end this shit, because that's the whole premise of the story. Rhea getting revenge and Rhea getting her title back. I don't think WWE is going to go in any other direction. I don't. I would rather see Rhea win the championship and then we get Rhea and Io for the title. Maybe that'll be the first title match we get on Monday Night Raw going into Netflix. That'll be a little bit of a ways for Io to cash in her championship opportunity, but maybe we get Io beating Liv and then Rhea versus Io for the championship at some point. Maybe that's the way that they go. I would like to see that too. Maybe they want to give Io a token title run for everything that she's done. But then what about Bianca pinning Liv? How is that going to factor into anything, if that factors into anything? Because they could have easily pinned Raquel Rodriguez. They did that for a specific reason. You just don't pin Liv Morgan, who's the women's champion, when you got Raquel Rodriguez, who basically is the heater for Liv Morgan. She is someone who is there to take the pinfall for the champion. She's the muscle. She's supposed to be the fall person. but they ended up pinning Liv. Is that going to factor into anything? I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see play all of this out. But I'm assuming we're going to get these 10 women inside War Games. That's the way that they went off the air. It's just Vince McMahon laziness. It was very Vince-like. What Triple H did tonight was very Vince-like, and it's fucking garbage. It's garbage. Basically, no different than what his father-in-law did. Lazily just throws these women out there, very short-sighted, just haphazardly last minute, man. I can't get behind it. We don't need a women's War Games match this year. We don't. That's the Monday Night Raw review. That is what happened on Monday night. If you guys enjoyed the show, listen, it wasn't that bad of a show, but it wasn't great by any means either. I think WWE is definitely in autopilot mode, and I can't wait for them to get out of autopilot mode, man. I can't wait for business to really start picking up. We need McIntyre. We need Punk. We need some of these major storylines that are playing out on TV to really kick it into the next gear. We're not getting that. Anyway, thank you guys for joining me here on this Monday night. Tonight, we're sponsored by my great friends over at Game Time. Make sure you guys download the Game Time app. Use that promo code JD from NY for $20 off your first purchase. Before we get into the Super Chats, a little word from my sponsor tonight. Tonight's podcast is brought to you by Game Time. Game Time built a ticket marketplace that makes it faster and easier to get into your favorite events at a moment's notice. Game Time provides the premier marketplace for last-minute tickets to the most popular events in sports, music, and theater in more than 60 cities across the United States and Canada, eliminating the need for printing. And they built a better way to access the best live experiences right from your phone. All you guys got to do is download the Game Time app, create an account, and use that promo code JD from NY for $20 off your first purchase. You guys know how important music is to me. I say it on this podcast quite often, and it's not the first time I've mentioned it right here in this advertisement for my good friends over at Game Time. But this coming winter will be the second year in a row that I go see Mark Tremonti live in Atlantic City at the Borgata Casino as Tremonti sings Sinatra. Yes, Mark Tremonti, the lead guitarist of Alter Bridge and Creed, he does sing Frank Sinatra, and man, he's got one hell of a killer voice. If you guys know what I'm talking about, My Way, New York, Fly Me to the Moon, all of the Sinatra hits, plus a couple of Christmas songs in there as well this year, as he promised. What a concert, man. I went last year, one of the greatest concert experiences I have ever been a part of, and it's all done for charity. All proceeds for all of the Sinatra Tremonti concerts go to the National Down Syndrome Society, as his daughter suffers from Down Syndrome. So I can't wait. And you know where I got my tickets? I got my tickets on Game Time. Some of my favorite features from the Game Time app. You guys got the lowest price guarantee, as always. Event cancellation protection, 24-hour returns. And my favorite feature on the entire app, view from all seats in the venue, so you know where you are sitting, so you could get the best experience possible for whichever show or concert that you are attending. And Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks. Game Time Picks actually filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats, so you don't have to waste your time searching through thousands of tickets. So just like the great Frank Sinatra says, guys, I did it my way. And the only way is Game Time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use that promo code JD from NY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Once again, that's code JD from NY, $20 off your first purchase. What time is it? Sounds like Game Time. Thank you guys for joining me right here on the Monday Night Raw post show for November 11th, 2024. Tonight sponsored by Game Time. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. Tomorrow night, Solid Monster and I will be live for Tuesday Night Titans. Episode 72, we'll be back. Normal night, normal time. Should be a great discussion as always. Happy to be back with the Solid Monster on Tuesday nights. Go check out all the other content on the channel. Plenty of it. We uploaded a great extra, 35 minutes of extra on your Sunday afternoon. Go check that out. We got two great videos on the second channel. That's linked down below in the description. JD from NY Shorts. Nearing 7,000 followers over there. Shout out to my Twitch family. We hit 11,000 on Twitch. 11,000 followers. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate you guys for all your support. Go check all that out. Everything you need is on the homepage. And Super Chats. We're going to get into them right now. Still open. Get them on in. Any questions, comments, and concerns, I'll tie you out. Main Event 81 with 24 months. I've been watching AEW since its birth. It's nothing like it used to be. House of Black should be champions by now. In year three, where are the long-term storylines? There are none. They try and pretend. There are none, Main Event. It's basically Tony Khan's wet dream is AEW. They don't really have a reason for doing anything. Michelle with a $2 super chat. Are we getting Cody with Roman and KO with Solo for War Games? Yeah. Yeah, we are. Vinny with a $4.99. The reunion on SmackDown for the OG Bloodline is ruined with some random fifth member. Regardless of who it is, 4 versus 4 was the move this year. Yeah, I said this earlier. They had the story right there in front of them to do the emotional side of the story with Sammy being involved and getting Sammy back, but they rushed right to it on Friday night, and they ended the show with him and the Bloodline standing tall. Now the entire story for the next 3 weeks is going to revolve around who's the fifth man? Who's going to be the fifth man? Which is fine. I just think that you could have done both at the same time and made them both equally emotional. I just feel like things are getting rushed for no reason. Got to be a reason for the rush. Cody Snyder with a $5 super chat. I'm going to be honest. I miss traditional elimination matches for Survivor Series 5-on-4 or 4 versus 4. War Games could be its own PLE. I'm not the only one saying it. Now, I think War Games at Survivor Series is a great get for Survivor Series. I think that's the way. I just don't think we need to do 2 War Games because the men have one. The women got to get one too. There's nothing wrong with doing a women's War Games match if it makes sense. If the story is there, built over months and months and months of emotional and engaging and interesting television. These women have none of that. Zero. That's my point. Tony Brown with a $5 super chat to all my fellow veterans. Thank you for your oath. Tony, thank you for your service, brother. And thank you to all the veterans out there that give us this great country that we live in. Tribal Chief with a $2 super chat. Raw was okay. OTS for life, pal. JD is the GOAT. Thank you, brother. King Mo Jackson with a $1.99. PlayStation 5 or Xbox? Which is your preference? I am going PS5, man. I don't have or own an Xbox. And I believe when I have the funds to do so, I am buying myself a PlayStation 5 Pro. Just because. King Mo Jackson also with a $1.99. OTS for life. Royal Rumble or Money in the Bank? Always Royal Rumble. King Mo Jackson with a $4.99. I don't even know why I try anymore. Song has been stuck in my head for weeks. I think of this song every time I watch AEW and sometimes NXT. Oh, yeah, it's the new AEW official theme song. Hassan! With a $5 super chat, Bronson Reed is of Samoan descent and has mentioned wanting to be a part of the bloodline under Roman a while back in an interview. I don't think that it will end up being Bronson Reed for War Games. Though I would not mind. And if Rollins wins next week, maybe. If Rollins wins next week, maybe we get Rollins on Solo's side, Bronson Reed on Roman's side, and the OG Bloodline win anyway, and Bronson Reed ends up beating Seth Rollins there. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, it's all about Roman beating Solo. That's the story. Anybody else doesn't make sense and should not be in that position. Cody and KO is the way. That's the answer. Matt, 87, with a $4.99. War Games should be treated like a Hell in the Cell. The biggest storyline rivalry should go to war, not to be thrown together for the sake of having the match. Absolutely. Absolutely. Ambrose, Asylum, and Andre White become new members here on the podcast. Thank you, gentlemen. The fuck are you guys drinking? Preacher with a 1 month. Thank you, man. Hallelujah. I'm a 1 month VIP for the best preacher of them all, JD. Thank you, preacher. Ricardo Lino with a 51 months. Oh, my goodness. JD, Tony Khan, man, needs to listen to you, but his ego won't allow him to. He will eventually fail, and it brings me no joy to say that. So sad. OTS for life. Tony Khan is driving that company into the fucking ground, man. I don't give a fuck how much money Warner was suckered out of by Tony Khan. Hollywood guy with a $5 super chat. JD, two things. If Io does not win the championship, do you see her winning the Women's United States Championship? And will you ever do Mr. 9 to 5 again? Yeah, when a wrestling game that comes out that's worth my time is released, yes. Absolutely. I could see EO being a United States champion. Why not? Why not? EO's great. King Ellie Show with a $1.99. Favorite Call of Duty, Black Ops 3. Amon G with a $4.99. Would low-key be upset if Rollins was in War Games? Maybe he turns heel. But even then, I don't know. Really want Owens, Cody in the match. I think it will end up being Cody and Owens. Best in the world, Matt, with a $5 super jack. Kevin Owens has problems with Roman Reigns. He has problems with Cody Rhodes. He has a history with Sami Zayn. It all makes sense. You know it, brother. Triple M, what's up, brother? Thank you for the run earlier, man. I'll be on tomorrow. Still chasing that fucking grenade launcher or any weapon with a decent roll and that fucking icebreaker that has not dropped. Everyone, make sure to support JD on Twitch, too. I'll occasionally be gifting Twitch subs. Hope you have a great week, JD. I'll see you tomorrow, hopefully, brother. Thank you. And Mr. Team Bring It 123 with a $1.99. He says Halo Infinite is greater than Destiny 2. No. No, it is not. Rome Collector 84 with a $2 super chat. Roman or Solo? Who's the better team to win? Roman's team is going to win because Solo and his team won at Crown Jewel. And they pinned Roman. The OG Bloodline's going to win. That's all I got for you guys, man. Appreciate you guys for hanging out with me tonight. We'll be back tomorrow for Tuesday Night Titans. Solid Monster and I will be live as always. Back on Tuesday nights, man. No preemptions this time around. Make sure you guys tune in. It's going to be a great show. We'll go over all the week's news. We'll talk about all the shit that happened tonight, man. Big Survivor Series discussion. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. Go check out all the great content on the channel. There's plenty of it. Hit that thumbs up on your way out, man. Let's try for as close to 1,000 likes as possible on tonight's Raw post. And go check out my sponsor for tonight's stream, Game Time. Download the app and use that promo code JD from NY to save $20 off your first purchase. Thank you guys for a great stream. I'll see you tomorrow live with the Solid Monster for episode 72 of Tuesday Night Titans. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a MyLowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards. Because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.